Lord be with you. I could sit and listen to Janet play all day, couldn't you? Welcome to worship this morning. I'm Reverend Catherine Flux Price. I'm one of the pastors here of Trinity, and it is great to be with you today and for us to be together for worship. If you are here for the first time, we want to especially welcome you to worship today. We're so glad to have you here with us today. You'll notice in your bulletin that there's something called a Trinity Connection card, and I would invite each of you, every one of you, to tear that out of the bulletin and fill it out for us, and then you can put it in the offering plate later in the service this morning. If you are here on a regular basis, if you will at least write your name and your email on there, it helps us to know you're here and to be able to stay connected with you. And if you're here for the very first time, if you'll share with us as much information as you are comfortable giving, and it helps us to be able to get connected to you. So we sure do appreciate it. You know, this morning we finish a worship series, Losing Ourselves on Purpose, where we talk about denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Christ. That's what Christ has called us to do. We looked at different aspects of denying ourselves, and today we focus on generosity. What does it mean for us to be people who are generous? We're generous in many different ways, and some of it is what we give, and also how we act and how we are with other people. There's a quote that is attributed to John Wesley. It probably wasn't actually John Wesley who was the first one to say it. But it's attributed to him, and it certainly is a good definition of who we are as Methodist people who follow in the way of Christ. It says, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. That's who we are and who we are called to be. Generous people. This morning, we have mission boxes, as we usually do, and the information about the mission box in your bulletin is not correct. That's actually last week's. So let me tell you a little bit about our mission box focus for today. It's an offering for SWAG. SWAG is Southwest Advocacy Group, and it is particularly for them to be able to build a child center in an area of Southwest Gainesville. You all know that there are pockets of Gainesville where there is poverty, even extreme poverty, and SWAG works with one particular area like that in Southwest Gainesville. SWAG hopes to build, intends to build, a child center, and it's a place where children birth to age 5 will be able to receive education and creative play and nutrition and be in a healthy and safe environment so that they can have the start that they need in life. We all know that that early intervention can make such a huge difference in the entire trajectory of one's life. And supporting this center will allow SWAG the opportunity to make an impact at an early age that then can change the whole outlook and direction of life for that child. So I encourage you to be generous as you're on your way out. Also, after the service, if you want more information, you can look for Dorothy Thomas at a table out by the Welcome Center, and she'll be able to share with you more about that. She is a tireless advocate for the Southwest Advocacy Group. Let me invite you now to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Please introduce yourself if you don't know them, and say hello if you do.
Would you please remain standing and join us in this opening hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
God, creator of the world and all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We believe, God, help our unbelief. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation. In each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us, that all may have enough in all responsible use of the earth's resources. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace. We confess our sins, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the use of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You may be seated.
As we enter into this time of prayer together, I know that all of us came through the doors here into this sanctuary this morning with joy, maybe things that we want to lift up to God with praise and thanksgiving for the work He is doing in our lives, maybe some concerns that are on our hearts, and we want to offer those to God as well in our prayers. I invite you to consider these folks here who are in need of God's healing grace in your continued prayers. And as we enter into this time of prayer with a moment of holy silence, I invite you to offer all that you have in prayer to God and remember these persons in prayer. So let us pray. God of unfailing love and relentless grace, we gather this day to worship You. We are in need of a holy encounter that changes our hearts and transforms our lives. May Your Spirit fall afresh on us this morning to remind us that we were all made in Your own image, and that we have all been redeemed through Jesus, Your Son. Forgiving God, look with compassion on the whole human family in the midst of our brokenness and division. Let no hate, evil, or harm come from our mouths, hearts, or actions. Break down the walls that separate us. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish Your purposes on earth. Bring our nation together to heal so we can be instruments of Your peace and healing grace for the common good of all people, especially the oppressed, the outcast, the downtrodden, and the marginalized. We pray these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you.
given to us to help sustain the ministries of this church and help us fulfill our mission of making disciples committed to making a difference in the world. So ushers, please come. And as they come, let me pray for us. It is good, Lord, to worship you with offering. You are the real joy giver, and help us to follow your example by joyfully giving back to you our tithes, our offerings this morning. Multiply these gifts, O God. Have your will and your way with them for the good of your kingdom work here on earth, we pray in Jesus' name.
Several weeks we have been considering what it means for us to be a people who are willing to lose ourselves on purpose. What it looks like to follow in the way of Christ with particular characteristics. And it strikes me today as we bring that series to a conclusion that it is hard to imagine a time in recent history in our country when it was more important for all of us, regardless of political persuasion, regardless of who we voted for this past week, regardless of how we feel in the aftermath of the election, it is so critical for people of the body of Christ to live out these characteristics in the days ahead. To lose hostility in exchange for hospitality. To lose pride in exchange for humility. To lose resentment in exchange for to lose self-interest in exchange for service to others. These are the things we've been talking about the last few weeks. Service, humility, hospitality, worship, forgiveness. These are the things that make us who we are. And today we bring it to a conclusion by looking at what it means to be a people of generosity. To lose self-indulgence and stinginess in exchange for the way of generosity. I'll be reading a passage from the 21st chapter of Luke for our scripture for this morning. Before I do, I want to set the stage for a moment and invite you to imagine yourself as a scene. I think with this congregation, there are enough of you that probably remember the old Walter Cronkite days. You were there. Remember that? So here's the scene, only this time you were there. So Jesus and the disciples have come into Jerusalem for the last time. He has entered the city. He is on his way to his death, crucifixion. And each day while they are in the city of Jerusalem this time, the scriptures tell us that they are gathered near the temple. And Jesus there has the disciples around him, and he is teaching them, and anybody else who happens to want to come along and listen in or overhear what is being said. And on this particular day, Jesus has just noticed the legal experts and the scribes, and he has pointed out how these self-inflated persons seem to like putting themselves in the place of highest importance. And then after that, he turns his attention to the crowds who are entering the temple, and he notices something, and then shares this. Looking up, Jesus saw rich people throwing their gifts into the collection box for the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow throw in two small copper coins worth a penny. He said, "I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than them all. All of them are giving out of their spare change, but she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she has lived." This is the word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, thanks be to God. We pray for you. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts. What is going on here? What is Jesus talking about as he watches people come into the temple on that day? He calls out some rich members of the community as they deposit their gifts in the collection box. And then he lifts up a poor woman as she puts her gift into the box. Two lepta is the Greek word that's used here. The smallest currency that was available in its day. And all this woman has is two of those tiny coins. And she places them both in an act of full trust as she enters. And then Jesus makes this radical statement that those two small coins, what she has put in, is more than all of the rest. What in the world is going on? Well, first, it's important in order to see what Jesus is inviting us to see, it's first important to acknowledge what Jesus does not say in this story. Jesus does not say that the widow's gift matters more simply because she is a poor woman. It is not her status as poor that makes the gift more valuable. Neither does Jesus say that being rich is evil. The fact that there were wealthy people, people who had wealth entering the temple, that in itself did not make them evil. Evil or good is not defined by wealth or poverty. Those things in themselves do not constitute a judgment upon either person or any group of people entering the temple that day. So what is Jesus paying attention to here? It is not the amount of the gift, but rather something about the quality and the character of the gift that he notices. What Jesus does seem to say to us here is that not every gift truly reflects generosity. It is possible to make a gift and to do so without it being from a place of generosity. It is possible to simply give excess or spare change, as Jesus refers to it in the Gospel of Luke here today. What Jesus also seems to be saying here is that the character of the gift and the heart of the one who is giving matters. And so as we look at this story, and as we put it alongside so many other stories and also readings in various places in Scripture, it begins to help us put together a theology of this. generosity that allows us to consider not as much the what of giving as the how and the why. Because when we get the how and the why right, we will likely get the what right, whatever that may be for each of us. So I want to look today at a few examples that help support the how and the why that we can find again across the pages of Scripture. The first is this, that we are called to give, first and foremost, because it is a response to the God who has given so generously to us. It is with gratitude that we can look upon our lives and look upon what we have and what we have been blessed with and respond back to God out of God's abundance, a portion of what God has entrusted to us. When we do this, when we begin to practice that kind of response, generosity will open us up to the kingdom-minded life, God's kingdom. Almost every week when we worship, we pray the Lord's Prayer together. And in that prayer we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." One of the ways we participate in that kingdom-minded life is through our generosity. Because those gifts, those tithes and offerings become a part of the work of God in the world today. And we get to participate in what God wants to do to transform our world into something that looks more like God's kingdom. I want to invite you to take a moment to look at a story of one person from among our congregation and how beginning that practice opened him up to such a life. Take a look.
We're commanded again to give a tenth of whatever we get, because all our everything we have comes from God. And he deserves that back so that he can go do the things that we as people don't take care of as individuals. I didn't always tithe. My wife and I made a conscious decision years ago that we would start tithing. It's that the Bible asks for it. You know, a tenth of what we get is for God. And it started making a difference in our lives in terms of drawing us further and further into the church and the life of the church as a couple and as a family. And from that, we started getting involved in volunteer opportunities. I started with Jan LeDuc enticing me to go help Habitat build. As a matter of fact, my wife and I, we did a well trip to Guatemala, and as a result of that, I've been to Central America and different countries there to work with Living Water and drill wells. And it's been a source of great comfort to me to have the relationships that I've developed over the years with all the people in Trinity and people involved in Appalachian Service Project and really all over the world, including water, with the Ports of Solomon, and through the ties of church, I became involved and went on the board of Call to Action, which is a separate 501c we developed, and we've been feeding the homeless for many years now. I'm hopeful going forward that people in the church will search their hearts and decide to give the Lord this tenth that he asked for. It can make a big difference in your life. It can certainly enrich it in ways that you never thought possible. And the old adage that you get back tenfold what you give is so true. And I just can't emphasize it enough.
I love the way that Jamie describes how practicing generosity
to the great giver and to be a part of what God wants to do in the world in building God's kingdom. Generosity is also a practice that is based on giving out of what we have, not out of what we do not have. We do not all have equal amounts to give. We do all have equal capacity to give proportionally out of the resources that have been entrusted to us. And so the invitation is to give out of what we have, not out of what we do not have. One of my favorite examples of this that I witnessed was a number of years ago. Catherine and I took a youth group on a mystery trip to the Atlanta area. And as a part of that trip, we took them to worship on Sunday morning at Ben Hill United Methodist Church on the outskirts of Atlanta. Now, Ben Hill is one of the largest predominantly black congregations in our whole denomination. And it was a worship service that was vibrant and powerful and expressive. We knew that would be the case from previous experience. What we did not know was that on that particular day, they were kicking off a capital campaign. They were going to build a center that would allow them to be more involved in their community and ministries that would touch those around them. And so as a way of encouraging and challenging persons to get on board and be a part of what the church had the opportunity to do, the pastor invited two people to come up who had already made commitments to the campaign. The first person was a gentleman by the name of Cliff Levingston. That name might ring a bell for a few people. Cliff was an all-star basketball player with the Atlanta Hawks. And for most of the time that he lived there in the Atlanta area, he was a deeply committed member of that congregation of Ben Hill United Methodist Church. And when the pastor invited Cliff to come forward, he shared with the congregation that Cliff had made an early commitment to the campaign of $100,000. And then the pastor also introduced the congregation to Mary, a young woman who for several years had been working as a kitchen helper there at the church. And what the pastor shared was that when Mary heard about the campaign and the opportunity they had to make a difference with their neighbors, Mary came to him and said, "You know what, Pastor, I am excited about this. And you know, every month I take a little bit out of my paycheck and I put it in a savings account. And I have $1,000 in that savings account that I would like to give toward this man." And there it was. Cliff and Mary, both out of a heart of generosity and a desire to make a difference, giving out of what they had to be a part of what God wanted to do through that church. Powerful. Lastly, a thread that runs throughout Scripture is the idea of generosity being a practice of giving first fruits. That as we think about all that God has done for us, we take the first portion of the resources entrusted to us and give that portion back to God. It might be kind of like taking this first apple. God, you have given me so much. This, before I do anything else, this belongs to you. And you know what? When I take this one apple away from this table, it really doesn't look like there's much missing here, does it? I mean, it's hardly noticeable because there is still plenty on the table when I take this one and set it aside. But here's the problem for most of us. Most of us don't start here. Far too often, we start over at this side of the table. And we say, "Well, got to have a place to live. I got to have a car. I got to have food. I got to have insurance. Oh, I want a nice car. I want good food. And I want to be able to eat out some. I got kids. I got to make sure I get them to school. entertainment. I got to have my hobbies and my sports. I'm going to take that extra trip this year. Let me get down to this. And because we started at the other end of the table, our hearts have not been shaped for generosity. Our hearts have been shaped for indulging ourselves. And so we get to the last apple. And there's still things that we want, or things that we think we need. And so we begin to carve portions off of that apple, until often all we have left is just the core. I want to invite you. I want to challenge you to work from the other end of the table. Challenge you to think about the practice of generosity and to begin by remembering God's great generosity, to begin by remembering how well you've been able to trust God so far along the way, and to start here. I am so grateful that Catherine and I both had the witness of parents who started here and modeled that. Parents, grandparents, I would encourage you to do this not just for yourselves, but just for the sake of the children and the grandchildren. Model it for them. Because when we begin here, everything else falls into place in the proper perspective. Start here and say, God, you have given me so much. This first portion. Giving it back to you. And when we do that collectively, what God will do through us as God's church, what we will have the capacity to do, is far more abundant than anything we could ever ask or know. This morning, as we come forward for communion, to receive God's gift for us at the table, there will be an opportunity for us to respond. Every week we can respond. This week, one of the ways we can respond is through our commitment to be a part of what God wants to do through Trinity in the coming year. If you're a member of Trinity, you have been receiving letters in recent weeks, and you received a card this past week. And we're invited to bring that back to worship today so that we together might offer our best to be a part of what God wants to do. You might think about this first fruits idea and this first apple and go, that is crazy. That is impossible. I can't speak for you. What I can say is that through seasons that have been lean and through seasons of plenty, by starting here, our own witnesses that there has always been enough. And so I would just invite you to pray in these next moments. God, what would you have? Not what would anybody else have, but God, what would you have? And may we be overwhelmed. Oh God, you are good and you are faithful. And in your goodness, you have shared so abundantly with us. Shape our hearts that we might find joy in being a part of what we would be in the church.
We come to the table and we give thanks to God because it is good and right always and everywhere. We give thanks to to God, creator of heaven and earth, God who shaped and formed each one of us and gave us being, God who breathed the breath of life into us, God who placed us in the garden and gave us all that we needed to live, God who loves us and wants to give us nothing more than abundance. Yet, we turned away. We turned away from God and our love failed. But God's love remained steadfast. God came through prophets and teachers and preachers and shared with us God's great love for us. And yet we still turned away. We still fell away from God. So in the fullness of time, God came into this place to be with us, to show us what it means to live, how to follow in the way of Christ, and how to offer our lives to God. We know that Christ offered his life and was obedient even to the point of death on the cross for our sins, so that we might be reconciled to God and to one another. We remember that on the night before he died, Jesus took a loaf of bread, broke it and gave it to his disciples gathered around him. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as needed in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance." So we come to this table and we offer ourselves. We offer all that we have and all that we are. We offer our lives in obedience as we follow Christ out into the world. Let's take it. For God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we can go out into the world as the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, we pray that you would make us one. Make us one with Christ. Make us one with each other. And make us one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory. And all God's children feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to join us at the altar. Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is an open table. It's a place where everyone is welcome to come and share in this meal of grace. So we invite you to come forward, beginning at the front and moving toward the back. You'll come out of your row on the left-hand side and move to the station in front of you. And as you come forward, I invite you to cup your hands, because we come to the table, all of us, beggars in need of God's grace. So come forward, receive a piece of bread, take that and dip it into the cup, and then you can return to your seats by the other side of your section. And you're also welcome to spend as much time as you like at the healing benches in prayer, and there's gluten-free and the stations on the far outside. As you come this morning, you have the opportunity to make your commitment to Christ as well. So we invite you to bring your commitment cards forward and place them in the baskets that are at three different places. Please come. Everything's ready.
response to God's goodness, would stand and sing together our doxology, which is to the tune of all creatures of our God. Before we sing our closing hymn, I invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. So God, we give you thanks for this holy meal in which you have given yourself to us. We ask that you would strengthen and nourish us to go out, to share the good news, to lose ourselves and lose ourselves on purpose for your sake. So God, may all that we have and all that we are be given to you.
Go out today, a couple of opportunities for you. One, this is Turkey and Fixins Week. It is the week, no, Thanksgiving is still over a week away, but this is the week when we as Trinity have the opportunity to bless others in our community through purchasing groceries that can then be a part of a mighty offering to others. So there are grocery bags over on the side and also out at the Welcome Center that we encourage you to take, fill them up, bring them back. And also, if you'd like, there are a couple of self-proclaimed turkeys that go by the name Jeff and Jack. They said it, not me. But they would be happy to receive your turkey today if you want to go and purchase a turkey and bring it back so that they begin to know how many we have and how many more might need to be purchased. You can do that today. Also, just as a small token of thanks for your participation in Trinity being able to do what we do in the coming year, there's a token that we'd like to give you back at the tables over here. Laura and Randy would be happy to hand you one or two of these tags that you can put on a piece of luggage or on anything else just as a way of remembering the time that we've gone through these last few weeks. As you go out, may you go out knowing how good God is and knowing that God invites us to be a part of God's goodness in the world even now. Trust in the grace of our Lord Jesus.